Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful sunny day out here. Pay no mind to that couple of inches of snow we got Friday night. Bet you didn't get any snow, did you, Jackie? Andy and Dale, any snow popping up in Arizona? Terry and Barb, any snow in Arizona? Mark, I'm sure you got some over in the Buffalo area, North Tonawanda. We had in our driveway, which is 16 miles from the church, we had about 6 inches of snow. Very heavy, very nasty, very fun snow. Up in Morgan, Vermont, they got 26 inches. Good for them. If somebody had to get it, I'm glad it wasn't us. Somebody said, well, hopefully this will be our last storm. I'm like, I seem to remember in April, not all that, well, it was quite a while ago, but it wasn't, in the grand scheme of things, it wasn't all that long ago, where we got here for, Deb and I got here for choir practice at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we had choir practice, then we had Sunday school, then we had morning worship. We got out of here about noon, and if it was April 15th, there was 18 inches of snow. If it was April 18th, there was 15 inches of snow. I don't remember which is which, but I know 15 and 18 were in there. So, we certainly haven't reached the end of the potential snowfall for the state of Vermont. We occasionally get snow in May. Very rarely get snow in June. We have. I haven't seen it on the 4th of July, but we've seen it, well, even this year we had it in early October. Right? Didn't we?
Yeah.
No, we had cold weather. I don't think we had snow. But we've had it in early October because the leaves hadn't come off the trees yet. So that wet, heavy snow hitting the leaves had broken trees all over the place. So, but it is a beautiful sunny day. It is very, very nice. It was 34 degrees when we got to church, according to the thermostat in the truck, or thermometer in the truck. So, praise God. I want to talk this morning about exercising our faith. The Bible at one place says, not all men have faith. Another place it says, every man has the measure of faith. So you look at that and it's like, I don't quite understand exactly how that all fits together. But we do know that our faith is a gift from God. Faith is also a gift to the Spirit. But like anything, the more you use it, the more comfortable you are with it. Any task, any skill, the more you work at it, the better you become. Now, sometimes the better you become, you know, the very best you can be exercising a skill is still barely adequate. Anybody ever tried something and was like, well, I do it, you know, whatever it happens to be. Do the task, but you never quite get good at it. But whatever we have, we should exercise. The front of the picture on the front of the bulletin, which prayerfully Rich will put online, it says, I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. Do we exercise the faith that we have, however big or however small we think it is? Do we put it to use? Hebrews 11, verses beginning with verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. The beginning of Genesis says, in the beginning, the world was out form and void, and darkness moved upon the space of the deep, upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we go, you know the creation story, you can read it in the first couple of verses of the book of Genesis 1. But the things that we see are not made, were not made because they were already there. Even when scientists talk about a Big Bang, okay, well, where did the stuff that bang came from, come from? You know, how far back do you want to go? Oh, it all happened with the Big Bang. Okay. Remember laws of physics. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Well, if there was an opposite reaction, what was the action that started it? Where did this all come from? Oh, no, no, no. They don't want to go that far back. We'll just go with a bang. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. And you think about the elders. You think about the people listed in the Bible. And it goes on in Hebrews 11, and I'm not going to run through it. I do have one more scripture in that passage, but not going to run through all of the things of faith. But recognize that as we go through this life and we see God's hand at work, it makes it easier to believe God is going to do something. Has anybody ever been healed by the Lord? Do you believe He can do it again? Absolutely. Because we've already experienced it. That, understand, I've seen God work, so I know He can do what He said He's going to do. He said, I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you. Praise God. It says, by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. I have absolutely no problem believing God can heal people because God's healed me. I've seen it happen. God's healed other people that I've seen and recognized. Now, does He do it every time? Not the way I had in mind. I remember, it breaks my heart to remember it, but I remember one person, a good friend of mine, whose sister had cancer. And I was convinced, absolutely convinced, God was going to heal her. She was going to get up off her deathbed. And I declared it. I proclaimed it. And it didn't happen that way. I don't know why God does the things He does the way He does them. But I do know that God is God, and God knows a whole lot more about what's going on than I do. The one who sees the end from the beginning knows everything that's going to happen. Yet we've seen God at work. We have had our faith exercised by believing God for something and seeing it happen. Hebrews 11, same passage, verse 5, says, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do we believe God, that God is? Absolutely. Do we believe that Jesus died for us? Yes, we do. Have we seen evidence of a changed life in our own lives? I praise God I'm not the person that I used to be. Preach, sister! Those of you that missed it, my wife is also very, very grateful that I'm not the person that I used to be. She says often, if I'd have known you then, I would not know you now. Because I was a mess. Not that I'm all together now, but I was really messed up back then. If by chance my ex-wife Terry is also listening to this, she can vouch for that. I was really, really, really messed up. But praise God, He had a plan and He didn't give up on me. And He hasn't given up on any of us. But we face things each and every day where we have an option to go about things in our own mind, in our own ways of doing things, or referring back to what the Scripture says. We talked last week about the way of escape. There are some things we are meant to endure. There are some things that are like, flee. Look for God said He will not allow us to be tempted more than we're able to bear. But with every temptation provides a way of escape. So we should keep our eyes open looking for that way of escape. Did God say this? Yes. And since God said it, He's made the way. So we should always keep our eyes open to look for what God has already provided for us. Exercising our faith. Sometimes we don't know what to do in a situation. Sometimes we pray and it seems like the heavens are brass, that our prayers aren't getting through, we're not getting an answer. Nothing seems to be going right. Do we give up? Or do we go back to the book? Or do we remember what God has already told us? He's already told us to walk, well, we're already told to walk worthy of the vocation for which we are called. We are already told to show love one for another. We are already told to be aware of the words that we say. Careful how we say things. Do not to bring offense to anyone. All of the things we're already told to do. If we trust that God's word is true and we rely on that, then when we find ourselves in a situation where we don't know what to do, we at least have something we can fall back on, that we can exercise, that we can trust that God is the one who said that Scripture says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. Meaning, as we go through this life, if our heart is set to follow the Lord, even if we're not getting clear directions, let's believe that God is still paying attention to us. Let's trust that God's still going to direct our steps. And let's trust that even if we fall, even if we stumble, even if we make a horrible mess, that God is still able to not only bring us up, but cause that horrible mess to turn into something good. God causes all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are called according to His purpose. Recognizing that even when our situation is beyond our control, our circumstances become a mess, that God is still doing something. That God is still at work. And if we believe that God is still at work, we can stand up. We can get up and not just wallow in our mess. But we can get up and we can repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please help me. Please continue to guide me. And get up and go, knowing that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That God is still at work in us. That He lifts us up. I tell people all the time that if our heart is set to follow God and we set out in the wrong direction, God is able to move the ground under our feet so that our feet land on the right path. Even though that's not the direction we're headed. Sometimes that's a very traumatic experience because we think we're just going completely off track. I'm trying to do something and nothing seems to work. Every time I go to put my foot down, I'm stumbling. I have to go the other way. Well, maybe God's just directing our steps. Do we believe that He loves us, that He has us engraved in the palm of His hands, that He is at work in us? If we believe that, we continue to go forward and trust that God is at work. That's exercising that faith. Because we can look back and see how things work out and recognize that it took the sovereign hand of an almighty God to get past my stubbornness, to get past my understanding, to put me on the path He wanted me on. Sometimes it's a simple thing. It's just a decision that either way, you know, it doesn't look like it makes a difference either way. I go back to when I first came up, 21 years ago now, first came up from Virginia. I was getting my ticket to go to Montreal. And there were two options. One option took me up through Vermont. The other option took me up through New York. And I, to this day, I don't remember why I chose the route through Vermont. But the route through Vermont got me to St. Albans, and then on the bus, and then stopped at the border, and then turned around. And I immediately started meeting people. God started putting people in my life. To me, it was a simple decision. I mean, you know, it was a decision that made no difference. Do I go through Vermont or do I go through New York? Well, I'd been to New York before. I'd never been to Vermont, so that might have... But it was a long time ago. I don't remember exactly why I did it. But that decision ended up with me being here. Because one of the first people that I met was Howard Parrish, who was attending church at a Nazarene church in St. Albans. That's where I met him. But it was shortly after that that he found out that this little church, being a Methodist church, the Methodist conference was trying to close the doors, move the congregation out, and sell the building. And he called to tell the people he was praying for them, and they asked him to come speak. He asked me to join him. So I came over when he came to speak. After that, they asked him to become the pastor. The Methodist conference found out the little congregation had a pastor, sold the building to the ministry, That's how God's Little Brown Church came to be 21 years ago. Simple decision, simple thing. Yet God is still at work directing us. When we look back and we recognize God's fingerprints on some of the things that happen, we know God is directing our steps. I don't know about you. That boosts my faith. That encourages me. I've been through many things in my life. You have too. Where you've recognized that God was at work. Trust God in the midst of that. If we can look back and see that God was directing my steps way back then, why would I think He's done with me now? So let's continue to rely and trust and focus on those things that God has already done. Focus on the ways He has shown Himself mighty on our behalf. Luke 17, beginning with verse 1. Then He, that is Jesus, said to His disciples, "It is impossible that no offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." I love that. Jesus says, you need to forgive people. Their response is, "Lord, increase our faith." Lord, help me. Lord, increase our faith. So Jesus says, and the Lord said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Jesus says, forgive them. And I say, "Lord, just increase our faith. I don't want to have to forgive them. Lord, make it happen in me." Jesus says, if you just had that little bit of faith, you tell me to increase your faith, but if you just had that little bit of faith and exercised it, you could say to this mulberry, "Be pulled up and cast into the sea," and it would obey you. Sometimes we want God to fix everything in our lives. We don't want to walk it out. The rest of this, of the passage, and we're not going to read it, but right after this, Jesus goes into saying, if you had a servant, and your servant was out doing the work in the field, doing what he was supposed to do, and you came home, which of you would say, "Oh, good job. Okay, I'm going to take care of you now." He says, no. When you get home, your servant's been working in the field. Now you say, okay, now you have some things to do in the house. Prepare my food. Take care of me. And he says, that's just what being a servant is. As we're called to be servants of Christ, sometimes we're looking for the attaboy, the pat on the back, the good job. Okay, lots of times we're looking for that. But the thing of it is, that's what we're called to do. If we recognize we are bought with a price, we are not our own, that we are called to be ambassadors of Christ, that we are called to be examples to the people around us, why are we looking to puff ourselves up? Okay, why am I looking to puff myself up? Recognize that it goes on in the passage. You're going to say, no, at the end of all of that, when you've done everything that was laid out to you to do, you should recognize that we're unprofitable servants because we've only done that which we were called to do. As we walk through this life, as we see God's hand at work, as we recognize what the Lord is doing around us, we should give praise to Him. Our goal, our destination, is heaven with God. Our goal is to get other people there. If we're worried about ourselves in this life, we take our eyes off of our goal. It doesn't change the destination. It changes what we're focused on. In Mark 9, beginning with verse 22, it's a situation where the son is demon possessed, and he'll fall down or he'll throw himself into a fire, and the disciples were trying to cast out the devil and they couldn't do it. And Jesus came. And Jesus said to the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Sometimes that's what we need to cry out. Lord, I believe this is what you said. I believe you're at work in this situation, but I can't see it. I believe it. Lord, help me to walk forward in what I know to be true. Even when my eyes don't see it, even when it doesn't make sense to me, even when nothing seems to be happening the way I think it ought to. Lord, help me to be a light and to be a witness. Help me, Father, to be a blessing to the people around. Help me, Lord, to be kind when I'm not receiving kindness from my fellow man. We talked in the prayer time about the persecution of Christians. All around the world is happening. Our brothers and sisters, they're not experiencing kindness. Help me, Lord, to be kind even when I'm not experiencing kindness. Help me, Lord, to trust you even when everything seems to be falling apart. Help me, Father, to go forward. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In Matthew, where it talks about this passage, talks about this situation, that's the other place where the Bible says if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. In that case, it says you could say to this mountain, be removed, and cast, be removed, and it'll go. But right after that is where it says this kind does not come out, but by prayer and fasting. Again, what are we doing to be obedient to what God's Word says? Are we finding something and carrying on? Or are we like, well, that sounds pretty difficult. I don't know that I want to do that. James 2, which we're not going there, James 2 talks about faith without works. You say you have faith, and that's a good thing. But if we say we have faith, it ought to be evident in the way we live. It ought to be evident in our lives. Because works don't save us. But works as an outpouring of faith, works as doing what we know to be right because we know who God is an evidence of what we believe. If we believed this roof was going to fall, we'd get outside. I would. If I truly believe something, it's going to be reflected in my actions. And if I don't truly believe it, I can say I do all day long. So it should be reflected in what we do. So as we exercise our faith, it should be evident to the people around us. Not necessarily of this list. I do this, 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 and this. I've checked off all the boxes. I'm a good Christian now. But it should be an outpouring of who we are. In 1 Corinthians 13, in the love chapter, Paul says, if I had all faith so that I could move mountains but have not love, it profits me nothing. So James talks about having faith but it not manifesting into our lives. Paul talks about having faith but it not being evident in our heart. So faith by itself is not it. It's how belief in God changes who we are and becomes demonstrated in our lives. Sometimes we have to grab on what God has promised. Even when we don't see a response, even when nothing seems to be happening, we grab on to what we know God has already said. God promised us that we're never alone. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And we can grab on to that. Lord, I feel so alone. But praise God, I'm not. Lord, this is difficult. I feel isolated. Nobody. I don't have anybody around. Maybe we're going through a time of depression. Maybe we're going through a time of hardship. Maybe a time of grief. Maybe a time, whatever. We feel alone. But God is with us. So we say, but Lord, I don't feel your comfort. But I believe that you are my comforter. I don't feel your guidance, but I know your word tells me that you're the one who guides me. Sometimes we have to pump that up. We have to take that, what we know to be true, because of what God has already done, and grab a hold to it, even in a situation where it's not evident. Do we trust that God will fill our mouth with words? We're told not to not to plan what we're going to say, especially if we're caught and accused and being persecuted. We shouldn't plan what we're going to say. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit will fill our mouths and tell us what to say. Or as it says in Exodus 14, the Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. Let God speak through us. Let God work out the situation. Sometimes we have to keep our thoughts and our ideas out of the situation so that we can let God go through it. Trust that God will be our defender. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Sometimes people get on your nerves. Sometimes people falsely accuse us. Sometimes people attack us. And I've told you this before. False accusations is one of those things that I have a big struggle with. But I've learned, or I'm learning. I can't say I got it down pat. I'm learning that if I keep my mouth shut, I'm learning if I don't jump to my own defense, then I'm not getting in God's way and God can work it out. Because God loves us. His Word tells us that. We know that from experience. God loves us. God is working in us. Again, we know that from experience. So we grab onto that and we exercise our faith in that. When a situation doesn't seem like it's going any way that's going to work out all right. Forget work out great, work out all right. When it seems to be overwhelming, seems to be there's absolutely nothing we can do, there's absolutely no way through this situation, but God is still at work. I know He's still at work because He's already done all of these other things in my life. He's already shown Himself mighty in so many other ways that I don't think He wasted His effort. God doesn't waste anything. He certainly didn't waste His effort in our lives. So we trust God to keep on carrying us through. And another thing to remember is God has plans for our good. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Is that Jeremiah 29:3? Thoughts for your good. Thoughts for a future and a hope. God has a plan for each and every one of us. So when our circumstances seem overwhelming, when things are not going well, when things are just don't seem to make any sense at all, I know from your word, Lord, that you have plans for my good. I know from your word that you love me and that you are going to be my defender, that I'm never alone. I know, Father, that you are showing yourself mighty on our behalf. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for one person whose heart is set on him, that he might show himself strong on their behalf. God's looking. Are we trusting God? Are we exercising the faith that He's given us? Faith like a little grain of mustard seed. I have a mustard seed and I'm not afraid to use it. I trust that God is going to do what God said He's going to do. Faith is believing that God was telling you the truth when He told you something. You ever think about that? And it should reflect in our actions. It should reflect in the way we treat other people. It should reflect in how we go about our lives. Final passage of Scripture, Romans 14, beginning with verse 1. I want you to look at this passage in what for me was a new light, maybe not a new light for you. Says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another's servant? To his own master he stands or falls, and indeed he will be made to stand, for God is able to make him to stand. One person esteems one day above another, another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. He who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. Every time I've ever read that scripture, I've read it exactly as it's written. I shouldn't despise somebody who is weaker than the faith than I am. I shouldn't look at somebody who doesn't have the level of faith that I recognize as mature. I shouldn't look down on them. Regardless of what it is, people walk into things. But you know what? What if we're the one that's weak in the faith? What if there's an area in our lives where we are the one that's weak in the faith? To his own master, he stands or falls, and God will make him to stand. There's areas in our life where we struggle. There's areas in our lives where we have a hard time trusting God. But God loves us. And he is at work. And we will stand not because of who we are, but because of who he is. To our own master we stand or fall. So many times I've read that. And think about the different people and, you know, different areas where they're struggling in an area that I'm not. Or not quite sure what the word means. Or get confused by something and don't know how to act. And I read that and I read the Word of God telling me I should come alongside them and I should encourage them and I should lift them up. Not to judge them because God's at work in them. But never until studying for this that I start to think about the times where I'm the one that's struggling and God's still working on me. You're the one struggling and God's still working on you. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where we are in comparison to each other. Because we all have areas of strength and we all have areas of weakness. What matters is where we are in relationship to God. And he's at work in us. We come before the holy throne of grace, covered by the blood of Jesus, adopted into the family, crying, Abba, Father. And God is at work in us, leading us this path, whatever path it happens to be, whatever the direction it happens to go, whatever it looks like as we go along. We are going along, and God is at work in us, strengthening us, helping us to stand, guiding us. I don't know about you, but that's a faith I can exercise. That's a faith that I can grab a hold to, that God is at work. He's not just at work in those people that, okay, well, they're somewhat behind me in this level. He's at work in me, making me more of who he wants me to be. He's at work in you, making you more of what he would have you to be, walking farther along the path that he has placed you on, each and every one of us. God is at work in us. And it doesn't matter whether we're the one who's more mature or less mature in an area. Either way, we are still servants of the Most High God. And it's our Master that is guiding us. That is the one who is able to make us to stand. Remember back in, I mentioned Proverbs. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his mighty hand. Doesn't say we won't fall. It says God picks us up. In this situation here, it's to his own master he stands. And he will stand. Indeed, he will be made to his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand. For God is able to make him to stand. God is able to work in the situations, even when they're overwhelming for us. Even when they don't make any sense to us. Even when it seems absolutely hopeless to us. That he is still at work. He is still guiding. And he is still God. And he is still worthy of praise. And he is still worthy to be trusted and believed. Because his word is true. He is faithful. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we give praise. We give praise, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the path that you've led each and every one of us on. We thank you, Father, that you continue to direct our steps. You continue to make us to stand and to prop us up and to guide us and to lead us, Father. Lord, you tell us to have that little bit of faith. You remind us, Father, to remember the things that you have already promised, knowing that your word is true, knowing that it's impossible for you to lie. So, Lord, as we read your word, as we see the promises, if we'll grab a hold to those, if we will exercise our faith on those things, Father, you show us more and more and more of your grace and of your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you haven't given up on any of us, that you continue to work and continue to guide. Our Lord, we give you glory. We give you all the praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.